All right, so this morning, I think there's a big, it's a testimony service this morning, just so that you know. But the focus is on a specific area, which is essentially our small groups, which is the small gatherings that we have in our church that gets together weekly and so on. And for our visitors, I don't know where's your journey, where you're coming from, you know, what your church experience is and so on. But this morning, we just want to honor God for the work that He has done. I think most of us sitting here, you know, when I was sitting thinking, what was my small group experience? You know, first time I joined a small group or cell or whatever you want to call it, you know, where was that? And I realized it was at youth. It was actually at youth. I got born again and I joined the youth and I went to youth and we had this incredible youth leader who imparted into us so much stuff. The Word of God, life. I remember this one youth meeting. He was sharing the Word and it was quite powerful. And then suddenly this one young lady started manifesting with a demon. And I tell you, at that moment I wanted to leave. I'm now like, okay, if he's here, I'm out. I'm leaving this house now. And even that, in that context, just to see, you know, the power of God and the authority of God, and even to just learn in that moment, well, one, challenged me a lot, but secondly, you know, I understood who I am in Christ and the authority that we walk in, and it was scary, but it was beautiful. And from that moment, I think if I look at my life as a son of God and a person in a church, it is the moments in small group, the life that was imparted to me, the relationships. I think some of our tightest relationships and longest standing are the relationships that we formed in small groups. It's the people that, you know, unfortunately, most of them are not here. But it's the people that, you know, when I phone them, it's like we've been talking for every day since the last, you know, 20 years. Except I don't see them that often. So it's such a powerful place. So this morning, we're going to share a few testimonies. So can I ask those, everybody that's going to testify this morning, if you can quickly come forward and stand here. And we're gonna do a mic handover from the one to the other. So this morning, I might preach. I'm not sure. It depends on how much they share. But I think what the heart is, I want you to hear. Even for you that are in a small group, that are in a church somewhere that you are, if it's not you, if someone else, then I want you to receive what God wants to impart to you through this morning. Then before I give the mic to them, I just want to say to all the people and the leaders that organized the tables, thank you guys. Come on. Let's see, the junior amps, I have even got a sign, eh? Yesterday. Yellow 20. Yeah, I like it. All right, so, but thank you for the effort and making a lot of effort for us to do this. So if you stand, will you please stand here so that the cameras can find you?
Camera cannot miss an Indian. Morning, everyone. My name is Rolf, R-O-L-F is the name. Don't ask me how an Indian guy got a German name. You're going to have to go ask that my parents. I have no cooking clue how that happened. But nonetheless, this morning as I woke up, I asked God, Lord, show me what can I speak about in this testimony for a cell group or small group. And the Lord just said to me, Genesis 2, He said that it's not good for a man to be alone. And that context is not reserved for marriage alone. It's also reserved or extended for a community. So God never designed us to be alone, isolated. And I, being an Asian, you know, born in Asia, born in India, we have a very big sense of community. You know, when I came here many years ago, I found people were a little bit more private, more isolated, and my neighbors still run away from me because I go greet them unnecessarily and be a nuisance. But that's me, you know. And I realized that when I joined a small group, it was very challenging for me because I'm not used to this being vulnerable. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't like to be exposed. But what I learned was that, you know, there's something that I read a while back that One of the authors, he said that God runs a beauty parlor. And I couldn't understand what it was all about. And I read further down and he explained very well. He said that a small group is like God's beauty parlor. You know, you go in there when no one's seeing you. You go with your scars, you go with your bruises, you go with all those marks, you go with all those things that you want to get rid of, you know. And in the small group, you make friends that are real with you, that don't accommodate you, but hold you accountable. And they pray with you. You speak things that is deep in your soul. And it's when you go to one of those God's beauty parlors, those beauticians, I don't go to one of them, I will never go one, but they remove those blackheads, they remove those stuff from your face that you don't want, that when you come out of there, you're totally refreshed, you're renewed, you've got a new glow on your face. And that small group for me, you know, Marietta and me has been in small group for the last 18, 19 years that we've been together, married. And all our small groups have been some of our best friends. I don't have a lot of friends outside my small group. My friends that are there are the ones that I have made in small group, and they still remain the most dearest to me. And for me, small group is about, you know, there's doing church and being church. The small group is the being part of the church. You go to small group not because it's a Wednesday thing, but that is where church happens. That is where the real thing happens. That is where you become vulnerable. That is where God touches you. And when you come out after Wednesday, you get that beauty parlor touch that you are now new, you are now grown. And we've seen that, Marietta and me have seen that if your small group grows rapidly, your church grows rapidly. We've seen the effect in our small group. When our small group grew, our church automatically grew. We have never been in a small group for more than a year, year and a half. That was how rapid it grew, and that is what it's all about. It's about coming, making strong friendships, and not being scared of being vulnerable. We are very shy people. We're scared of being judged and assessed by the world. But that small group is a place where I can tell you that you will not be judged. You will not be assessed. What you unbox in the small group remains in that small group. And I want to today ask of you that if you're not in God's beauty parlor, if you haven't visited God's beauty parlor, make an attempt to go to His beauty parlor. Get refreshed. Get renewed and come out with that brightness on your face. Thank you.
Morning, morning. My name is Chris Hutchinson and I've got my wife and family there. I can just reiterate what Ralph was speaking about. I only got saved, or the Lord saved me, in the year 2000, and the first thing I did was obviously go to the church, and then I went to small group. And what I found there, and what I need from the small group, is actually a body of people that I can be vulnerable, like Ralph was speaking about. And you can build up relationships there. Because in church, you meet people and you speak about all kinds of things on a Sunday, but you don't actually get to know people intimately. And a small group mustn't be a job. You mustn't think, oh, it's Wednesday again, I must go to small group. You must actually be keen to go. And then you must also find the right home for yourself. That, to me, is very important. People that you can relate to. People that you feel at home to. Even if you have to ride that extra 15 minutes to go, don't worry about that, because the relationships you build in that small group last you for life. And with a good leader in your small group, they are always there. You can phone them day and night, and you can say, listen, guys, I need prayer in this, I need prayer in that. And you can see, going on 60. So the WhatsApps and all these things that came into our lives is also so fantastic, because you can relate a message on that, and people can pray for you instantly, whatever situation you're in. I can now testify for things. In small group, I've got kidney stones, so I don't know if people know about that pain, but you pray and you pray and you're there at home praying, praying, and the pain is there and you're saying, God, why is the pain still there? And that night I go to small group and the guys form a circle and they pray. I don't want to say they had more faith than me. No comment, but instantly the pain disappeared, never to reappear again. And then also, you know, going to small group and praying about your work. I mean, most of us work here and we have sometimes tyrants for bosses. And we pray for change. And having a body of believers that are like-minded, that are not flaky and your friend that's drinking coffee with you at work, but actually believe in the same God, have the same kind of faith than you. I've just found that helps tremendously in changing and shifting our lives. The nice thing about small group, like I said, I'm almost 60, is you have different kind of people there. We all different colors in this country, all different shapes and sizes. And that's also nice because, you know, I used to come to church and I think, why doesn't a young person want to speak to me? I was also young once and I used to think, you know, an older person's always intimidating because you don't know what to speak about. And then, you know, in the small group I picked up, the young people said, but oom, ons weet nie wat om met jou te praat nie. So, you know, then you say, okay, that's the reason. So when I come to church, I must make a bigger effort to try and associate with the younger people. The nice thing is, like we had, and Wednesday was Women's Day. So what did us as South Africans do? We had a lovely braai. So that's also a big perk about being in a small group. You can braai together and you can enjoy each other's company. And that's, and the love. I mean, we talk about the love in the church, but the true love is when you have hit a snag in your life and you see no way out, that people can actually come and speak into your life positively and with love. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I've decided that I'm going to write my testimony down to stay within the 5 minutes. My name is Gail Stewart, and I've also been serving the Lord for many, many years. I was so fortunate that at the age of 15 years, on the 11th of May, 1980, God saved my soul. If you do the calculation, I think it's 43 years ago. And in all these years, you know, it was within the small group, the bigger church, but it was within the small group or the cell group or the life group where I've really grown and developed. So just for today, I firstly want to say thanks so much for this wonderful opportunity to share my testimony of the impact of the small group gathering on my Christian walk. I'm fortunate and blessed to form part of the small group of Hagen and Nicola on the beautiful Zevenwacht wine farm with its panoramic view of Cape Town. That was the idea. I wanted to make you jealous. I can just agree with Ralph. I firmly believe that God never intended us to live this Christian life alone. God created us to be a community and to connect with others. Scripture says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The weekly fellowship with the saints in our small group is priceless to me. It is invaluable. This is the place where the people know your name. They care about you. They love you. They support you. And we are accountable to each other. The place where we can just be our vulnerable self, the authentic self. Small groups create God-given an environment where we worship Him, where we meditate on His Word, where we share our testimonies, where we call upon Him in prayer, and where we grow spiritually. What a blessed God-given gift to be part of his family and to jointly live out the great commission of sharing the gospel and of leaving no one behind. If you are not in a small group, I would really encourage you to join your nearest group. You will be welcomed with open arms. It is always wonderful to make the Jesus circle bigger. And indeed, in our hearts, the old salty kids praise song, the words will resonate in the hearts of the believers if you join. Like Constance, this morning when you joined our table, did you see the message there? Welcome to the family. And the words of the salty song, 2 minutes, I see it. I see it. The words of the salty song, I'm quickly going to read it. Welcome to the family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us. As we grow in love, may we always be to you what God would have us be, a family always there to be strong and to lean on. I'm looking to you because you joined our table, but it's to everybody else that is near. May we learn to love each other more with each new day. May words of love be on our lips in everything we say. May the Spirit melt our hearts and teach us how to pray that we might be a true family. To my Zevenbach small group family, thanks for enriching my life and for being a tremendous blessing in my spiritual walk. Thank you, Hagen and Nicola, for your faithful and wonderful leadership. Your hospitality week after week is much appreciated. Thank you, Stephen and Gina, Carlo and Louise, Jerome, Marlon, Lucas, and my dear husband, Greg, and all the kiddos in our small group. You are an immense blessing in my life. God bless you.
Morning, Shofar. I'm Elisma de Villiers. I just have a story for you. I prayed for 7 years. Hello, Shofar. I'm Elisma de Villiers. Okay, I prayed 7 years for this lady that was driving with me to work and back. Oh, it was terrible. But any case, and nothing that I said mattered. She was just on her way, you know, like, nah. Any case, so I fell ill and for 2 weeks I was in bed. And my cell group leader called me and she said, do you need anything besides prayer for healing? And I said to her, my mother just contacted me. She's on her way from the Free State. I haven't cleaned my home in 2 weeks. I need somebody to clean my home. So they, everyone gave a bit of money and they actually deep cleaned my house in 2 days' time. And so... this friend of mine, she knew how I felt about this unclean home and all that. And she actually came to the Lord because of that. Nothing that I said in 7 years mattered. Nothing. No testimony, nothing. But the testimony of a small group's love at the time when you need it most. That changed her. That saved her. Thank you. Lovely day.
Thank you, Lesma. Sonne graag. Is it okay? Thank you. Elmi, my throat, my voice might conk out. I was shouting at a wrestling tournament yesterday, so it might not go well. My story is not about a spiritual help, even though that is so important in a small group, but it's a practical thing. I had a newborn. You'll see him running around. He's 9 years old now. But I had a newborn, and I had a little girl at creche or play school, and my gate decided not to work that morning. And I couldn't get out. I couldn't go to fetch her. Can't take this kid out to the shops. You know how it is. You need to buy groceries and things when everything goes wrong. And I think to myself, who can I phone? Who can I pick up the phone and now to come and help me? And you know what? We all go, okay, who's the family that I can phone? And I want you to look around and look at the family that you can phone. And in your groups, look at the family you can phone. And I picked up the phone and I phoned Mr. Rolf. And he rushed to my aid. He broke open the battery thing, helped me connect the thing, and I got out of my house. So just out of a practical point of view, sorry, there it goes. See, there's my nine-year-old, my newborn. out of a practical thing, these are the people that you can pick up the phone, like Elisma did, and say, I need someone to clean my house. I mean, that is just a practical way we can help each other, share the love. You know, those prayers in the middle of the night, the standing in faith for something breakthrough, those are important too, but just the people that can come around you and help you do your daily activities and your errands, those are the people that you can count on, and those are the people in the room around you. So I encourage you, pick up the phone them. People, don't be scared. You know, reach out, help each other, because this is what we need to do to help each other get through this life in one piece.
Morning. I'm Kudakwashe Manditsera. Firstly, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Stephen Benjamin and Graham Peterson for making planning for me to be a small group. Actually, I've been in church for a while, but I wasn't in small group due to transportation. So I want to thank you for that, because I've been learning a lot in small group. The one thing, I had a secret in my heart. But now, no more. I don't have secret anymore. because of like the plan that came with the Stian and Melissa, those are my small group leaders. One day on our small group, it's like they just came up with a plan, like, okay, now we want everyone to tell us about the secret, but who will start first about telling us our secret? So they told us there is like their secret. But afterwards, also I shared my one. But it's something that was like hurting me in my heart and bothering me. But afterwards, I managed to take that thing out. So I've been seeing the importance of small group afterwards because I've been praying for it. So now it's something that is normal to me. So I got nothing that is bothering me anymore about it. Yeah. Then the other thing about small group is actually a family. I'll be enjoying being there every Wednesday. And the other thing is like, we will be discussing about the Bible, and I will be also getting opportunity to share my views, because we'll be meditating about the verses, and I will be sharing, and I will be hearing also some people's views. And also, it's actually a playing. Yeah, I'll be feeling like, okay, we are going there. There's a time that we went to Paul and Hugard's place where we were doing like quizzes. But I was enjoying a lot, and I've been learning a lot there, because on that quiz, it was a sort of quiz, like we were joking, playing, but actually I've been learning something that I wasn't know, because I've been going through the scriptures, trying to figure out if it was correct or not, because we're doing like having some arguments about that. So I want to thank you about that. That's all.
Hello, everyone. My name's Jaden. In 5 years ago was when I was baptized. My mom's crying. but it's actually this year when I was fully saved, and that was because of youth. I can see on how much I've grown as a person, because just the youth community helped me so much, and it helped me gain my confidence. And it also led me to my testimony, like the Proverbs one, if you've seen it. I think just last year I was very lukewarm. I didn't know much about God, and I was actually swearing a lot, which I'm not very proud of. But now this year I'm new blood, and I'm a new person. So yeah, all because of you. So thank you.
Hello, my name. Thanks. My name is Benir de Villiers. I joined youth like a few months ago, and it taught me a lot, like a lot. It taught me how to speak in tongues. It taught me how you can be in a relationship with God, and also how much time you can be on your phone. Youth is like a place where it's a great start for youngins and teenagers to come together and they say, I want to be with God, I want to know who's God. And it's a great place, you know, to start. And also it makes you more social because more people want to come together, they want to know each other, they want more people to follow God. And it's a very great place to start. And the people at Youth are very kind. They understand who you are. They understand that you're also here to learn about God. And even if you are a little bit here and there, you don't understand anything, they are very passionate to tell you how everything goes and how the Holy Spirit comes and teaches you, because the Holy Spirit is like a coach. You may not do that, you must do that. There. And yeah, that's Youth is a great place to start. You can send your kids there if they are turning teenager, not 1 year olds. But yeah, it's for a great start. That's my testimony.
Hello. Hello, I'm Stefan Anthony. Don't be joking by my height. I am not older than him. I am still in Youth. But I just want to come on behalf of Youth. So last term, 2 my academic year, I felt really sick, almost to a point where I couldn't really breathe and I couldn't walk. For 2 weeks straight, I was just in bed, and it was... And then 3 days before I got back to school, I was starting my big exams. So I got back to school 2 weeks later, but I recovered, but I was still tired. And I had a lot of tests and I had a lot of projects, a lot of studying to do. And I already, before I fell sick, I already worked out a study plan for me to, you know, guide me through the term, because term 2 and grade 10, because I'm still in grade 10 right now, it's considered to be the hardest year in your high school career, which I can assure that it is, but through God you can get through. And so I got back to school and my exam started and I was catching up. And then in my second week of my exams, I was writing this big physics paper. Physics is one of my elective subjects. I was writing a big 150 mark paper. And that day my aunt passed away. And she was really close to me. We did everything together. We watched movies till like 4 o'clock in the morning. We were just very close to each other. And I was like, Lord, what now? What more are you gonna do to me? I mean, what do I do now? I'm 16, I don't know what to do. And through that month, the scripture was the whole time. I was meditating the whole time, every single day. It's in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which oppresses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And every single day, there was a new meaning for that scripture. And I was, in a sense, I was a little bit broken inside, but I didn't express that emotion to anyone. I was sort of, I don't know how to express that emotion, because I was so blinded by my studies. I didn't know what was going on with my aunt. It was the first time it ever happened to me that I realized it. And my last week when I received my marks, it wasn't what I wanted, and I got angry. You know, when an Afrikaans man realizes Springboks loses against the All Blacks, that was me. And I took it out of my parents, my family, my friends, even my teachers. And that day that I was so angry, the Lord, I was sitting on my desk and I was just fooling around. You know what teenagers do, parents. And the Lord just came and he spoke to me and he said, Stefan, for that 1 hour, because I was really angry, and he said, Stefan, for that 1 hour that you were angry, you gave glory to Satan. And I was like, but Lord, what do you mean? He said, you were angry. You didn't come to me. You took it out on people and you hurt those around you. And I was like, what have I done? Lord, please forgive me. I didn't realize that I did this. And one of my goals for each term is to get into the academic top 10 of my grade. And then when I received my marks, I was 0.6% away from my top 10. And I realized that the Lord, because I was rude to my family and my friends, my teachers, He sort of holded that blessing from me to teach me a lesson. That, and this is a lesson for everyone that you can learn, that when you're going through a journey, life is going to be tough, it's going to be hard, but you mustn't hurt those around you, because you're causing more pain to others, and they need to also now deal with the hurt that you caused. So I just want to say, everyone, life is going to be tough, it's going to be hard, but you need to bring it to God. You mustn't hold it, and you mustn't express it on other people. And I just want to say thank you to youth, to Stephen, Leanne, and Graham, all their teachings every Friday at youth has helped me in a way that I could have I've dealt with this.
I'm Stephen Benjamin. Thank you. So I'm going to give a testimony on being a youth leader. So I'll say that in the beginning, there was Cheslin. And then and then God multiplied, and there was four of us, and two of them left. Cheslin became an elder, and I was the last one with a buck in the hand, so I do. And then I was sitting on Chipotle's couch, and you asked me, so Stephen, why do you want to lead youth? And I was like, I don't want to lead youth. But I'm here because there's a need, and it's like, you know, Christianity is very inconvenient. And you give your life to the Lord, and He puts you in situations that you're not ordinarily, because I mean, I would say I'm on the spectrum of introvert, if you're going to go that way. And He's going to stretch you and put you in places that you never thought, or you never volunteered for yourself. And I mean, Jesus hung on a cross. He didn't want to be there, but He came down. And so, in so many ways, I mean, plugging away, and, you know, there was some harsh years. Like I mentioned, being inconvenient, you hear Monday, you know, there's an event in this Bible school, there's intercession, then there's small group, and then there's worship practice, and then there's youth. And my uncle used to say, you get a sleeping bag and leave it here in the church, and then just stay here. But this is your life. So it's like, we think we, you know, we have family, and you have your work, and you want to compartmentalize, but your life with God, that's your life. And how you actually apply yourself in ministry, and how you give of yourself, that's part of who you are in Christ. And yeah, so just in terms of, you know, seeing their growth, and like I mentioned now about being a leader and being the last one, and then there's always, like, Leanne was always there, Stephanie come and help. And I remember the 1 year in, I think it was 2018, it was Jean, Marika, Michaela, and myself, we pitched up, and there was no youth. And then we had to go to Spur to go have a good, but there were times when it was like just one person. We would go to Stefan's or Rolf and Mariette's place, or we would go to Caleb or Charmaine's place, because they were the only youth. But we go to their house, and we were able to see them in their environment, bless their house, and it's slogging away. 2020 was a very difficult year, but seeing the growth, and then now that Leanne has now taken over, now you see more fruit all of a sudden. And I'm like, then the Lord is like, okay, it's not about you, Stephen. And now it's like, because now there's multiplication. Now you're seeing that instead of you trying to keep the fire going, they are lit. The Holy Spirit is keeping them lit.
Morning, church. My name is Eloise. And I must say, it's quite intimidating to talk after Stephen and all of the rest that went in front. I didn't prep like they did. So I'm part of Brackenfell's small group, Graham and Nicola. Yay, give me a shot there. Thank you. So when I started, I've always been a believer. Was one of the lucky ones that grew up in a Christian household. But I would say I would never had that close relationship with God that I have now, and that I'm still striving to have. And I was very angry, I was very upset, I was very frustrated, didn't like change. And so to join a small group was kind of like, really, your time is stretched as it is. Do you really have time for this? Do you have to go do this at night now as well? And on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, you're halfway tired. And looking back at it now, I think that was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I have met a family. I know Cynthia's in the other Brackenfell group, but she adopted me as a daughter as well. I'm part of Nicole and Judith and Stephen. Where's Stephen? There's Stephen. And it's just that it was that place for me to sit. And so I've broken it up basically in four groups. The first thing I had, as I'm getting closer, oh sorry, my gezicht moet hy net gauw kry, as you're getting closer to the Lord, you have questions. So I had a lot of questions. I had questions about the Bible. I had questions about how I'm supposed to react. How do I lead people to God? And they answered that for me. I mean, even Jesus himself answered and led by questions. He asked questions. How do you find out stuff if you don't ask questions? The second one is serving others. I like to serve me. So it was very hard serving others, but not just serving them, but listening to what they had to say and how I could influence or help, or even if it just was a prayer that I could pray for them for that day. The ultimate, if we look at serving others and we take Jesus as an example, the ultimate gift he gave for serving us was he sacrificed his life for us. Then the other one I've got is prayer. What pray? Sorry, by the way, my English is only for self-defense, ne? So this is hard. So praying selfishlessly. Ne? Is that right? Thank you. See, this is why I have a small group. Ne? So praying with one another and not just praying about your needs, but praying about someone else's needs. And one of the things I learned the most about that is that I kept asking, God, I want it this way. Please, can't you help me this way? Please help me here in front. I don't know what to say, but it's not about that. It was changing my mindset around prayer. How do I pray and what do I pray for? Maybe the way I'm praying is not the right way. Maybe I keep asking him to do it my way, but there's another way that might be serving someone else. And then here we go, face again, via iPhone. Come now, hello, how's that? And the last was feelings, following feelings. I have a lot of feelings. And if you look at Jesus and his life, me and Nicole are doing John in depth. He had a lot of feelings. He was angry. He cried. He was happy. I see you. And all of us, bringing all of those feelings together in one group can be overwhelming. But at the end of the day, we all have feelings, and we consider each other's feelings. And if we see the ones a bit down, then we'll be a bit up, even if your day was hard. If you are a bit up and the others are a bit calm, then they bring you a bit down back to earth, because I tend to blabber on like I got my 2 minutes on now. But yeah, so small group for me was just that place that I felt connected to someone else. I felt part of someone else. I felt the ability to ask questions, to serve others, to have feelings. And what was the other one I had? I can't even remember. Pray. Thank you. See, that's why I have them. That's it.
Come on. So well done, everybody. That was good. I think for us as a church, for those visiting us, we have a focus for this next 6 months, and that is to lose no one. We trust in God that we will love people in a way that Jesus loved us, and that you know, even if they don't join Shofar Brackenfell, that they will not walk away from God. But we want to love people in the way that he loved us as long as they are here. That is what we trust in God to do, which means we need to do things a bit differently, think about things a bit differently. Like Eloise said, maybe think a bit less about ourselves and more about what God is doing. And I must say, I think for all of us, it is a challenge, because it's a shift in mindset and what you plan and think about. And it's so easy just to be selfish and just focus on yourself. I think this morning, as the people were sharing, I think the one thing that blessed me so much, in our culture, you know, a lot of people look at the pastor, you know, and the pastor leads the church, and there's so much about the pastor, but I just celebrate what God is doing through the people this morning, because I cannot disciple all of you. I cannot walk with you. I cannot, you know, be there in those tough times necessarily. If I have to, I have to clone myself a few times over and make sure that, you know, I've got a few cars on standby just to be everywhere. But small group facilitates that, that pastoral care, that love, that praying through, that being together. And one of the things that I saw, when COVID struck and we had that first 3 months, we were all locked up in our homes and then we couldn't move and so on. You needed a permit to move around and so on. And we had families that were going to lose their places to stay. They didn't have food, you know, there was no income. And I think what I saw there, especially, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but during that time, to see how the church, the body of Christ, just stood up. I mean, we paid people's rent for them, not 1 month, 2 or 3 months. We fed the people. I drove around with my license, handing out food everywhere, and I just saw how God just moved through people. So, you know, church is not just about the Sunday. I think in our culture we tend to easily lean that way, but it's not just about the Sunday. This is the gathering, the celebration, the feast. We get together in the God's presence and we worship and we have a great time together. But it's when we leave here that things still carry on. And where we can love. And that's why, you know, and I think someone said it, you know, to put a small group now on your week's list again. You know, nog 'n Woensdag uit, and you know, I have to, and I've got 20 other things to do, but to see what God is doing just in that moment. So please don't underestimate what God wants to do in the smaller group. Unfortunately, here, you know, as this church is growing, I'm struggling to know everybody, which I hate. It was nice when we were 30 and 50 people, I knew everybody, but now it's becoming a bit of a challenge. And I lean hard on our leaders and so on to help me with the pastoral care and the shepherding. I just want to close with this portion of scripture in Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. Just going to quickly just touch on that. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country? That struck me as I'm preparing this. In the open country. It's not like they're in a little hockey. It's like he just leaves them there in the felt. Right? He leaves the 99 and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, look at the... Oh, this is just beautiful. He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So he's already glad. When he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over a sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. And I think what's interesting for me here is how the Pharisees respond. Why were they grumbling? Why was the Pharisees upset? It's because the sinners and the tax collectors were having a meal with Jesus. So can you imagine this? Jesus sitting between people that in that culture was, you know, rejected. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. And here Jesus sits. So they look at the situation. They look at Jesus and go like, you know, so he's hanging out with these guys. So obviously he's approving of their lifestyle. And he's probably someone of similar character to these people, you know, that rob and steal and does all sorts of ugly things. But they never considered the fact that Jesus, the purpose why he came to this earth was to seek and save the lost. And he was simply creating an atmosphere, a place where sinners and tax collectors and those guys felt welcome. Why? Because he could do good to them. He could love them. He could express to them the Father's love, which they wouldn't find in the synagogue or anywhere else. You know, in that time, the amount of rules and stuff and the law that you had to keep was tremendous. So in that setting, that small group setting, Jesus has these people close to them, and then he starts discipling them, teaching them how to obey God. And I think a lot of that is what happens when we, a small group, get together, is none of us are perfect walking in there. No? I remember when I got born again in youth, and I'm sitting there and they're saying, okay, Quibus, will you read this portion of scripture to us? And I'm like, oh, you crazy. Because when I at that stage read a scripture or anything in public, you know, Eloise being intimidated, I mean, this was like 10 people and I'm freaking out. I used to read, but it was like that. And you when I was done, someone else had to read it because nobody understood what I was reading. I messed up scripture. And when I look back at what God has done in my life just through that journey, yes, in the church so much has happened, in Bible school, in different courses and events that I've attended, but probably the biggest shift was where people were just speaking into my life. You know, and if we want to trust God to lose no one, it's not the gathering, the huge gathering that's going to make the difference. It's the small. It's the intimate. It's the coffee. It's the braai. It's those intimate moments that we have with one another. In that last portion, he says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who needs no repentance. For us who are sitting here, you have repented of your sins. You've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. God is concerned about the one. And as long as, you know, there is a lost person out there, we will have church. We will have small group. Why? Because we're trusting God to see the lost sheep come into the fold. We will go seek them. We will be like the shepherd. You see, we can respond in the way of the Pharisees here, or we can respond in the way of the shepherd, which realized the sheep was gone and said, but I'm going to find him. And then when he found him, he came back and he had a huge party. So may that be the gathering on Sundays, is where we celebrate God leading people back to him, where people are reconciled with him, where people experience his love, where they grow, and we like Stefan, how he grew. He must just stop. Because he's getting way too tall now. I'm getting worried about the door sill thingy. Okay. So how do we respond? So then Jesus, we need to respond like Jesus. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but especially to those in the household of faith. And that's what church is about. It's about us dwelling together. We agreeing, aiming at the same thing. And for our visitors, for those that have been in the church that are not in a small group, today we want to encourage you to find that spot. To allow people into your life, to speak into your life. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Sometimes it is, because, you know, God will put that person right there that you need. You might not like them, but they're exactly who you need. And then they're going to love on you. They're going to speak in your life. They're going to share scripture with you. They're going to challenge you. And then there's this incredible thing that's going to happen, is you're going to grow. And you're not going to be the same again. So to see my title slide, we want to leave the porch light on. What is that about? There's a story told of this father and mother, and their son rebelled and left the house. And since the day that he left the house and he went into the world and he did all sorts of stuff, they left the porch light on so that when he comes back, he will see the light is on and he will be able to return home. And we simply want to leave the porch light on. As small groups in the communities where we are at, we are there for a specific purpose, called by God in that place to touch the people around us. And we want to leave the light on for those that are searching, those that are hurting, those that needs to be healed. So as we conclude this morning, I want us to consider the importance even just of the small group gathering. The importance of what God wants to do in my and your life. Because I think all of us sitting here have some sort of experience of someone speaking into your life.